Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary. It's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 25th. Happy Saturday and happy birthday to Catherine Loveman, who is on staff at Mountain Brook Baptist. She does a lot of things, but mostly helps Miss Sharon in her ministry. And Catherine is often the one who has a lot of good creative ideas and is very organized. We're so grateful, Catherine, for your ministry at Mountain Brook Baptist, and we thank God for you today. We're continuing on in the book of Genesis. I hope you're enjoying reviewing our history as a people. We're in Genesis, it says chapter 10 today, but I really want to read the story from chapter 9, verses 18 through 29, which is about the sons of Noah, because I think it highlights something that is so true, that just after Noah has had this like epic, faith-filled experience, trusting the Lord and building an ark, he makes a mistake. He gets drunk, and then it's a weird story. And as we read it, I just want you to think about, one, that he's still listed in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, as someone who was faith-filled, someone that honored the Lord with his holy fear, as we talked about a couple of days ago, that reverent worship of God. And also, we should see it as a warning that we need to protect ourselves continually against the evil one's schemes to devour us. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them the people who were scattered over all the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way, so that they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves, will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be a slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be a slave of Japheth." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. And then if we were to read on into Genesis chapter 10, this would be the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and those who proceeded from their genealogies. First, the Japhethites, then the Hamites, and then the Semites. Let's talk for a minute about Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 18. What does Noah do when he comes out of the ark? He plants a vineyard. That's right. Unfortunately, the fruit from the vine he made into wine, and then he drank too much. This is a warning for us. Oftentimes, the good things that God provides for us, we tend to overindulge in them. And so I want you to contemplate an area of your life where the Lord has been so good in blessing you. And maybe you're taking that for granted, or you're not sharing, or you're overindulging as Noah is here. The second thing I want to point out is something that Jen Wilkin taught in her Bible study, God of Creation. She said, "We tend to celebrate when a righteous person falls because it validates our inconsistencies." But that's not what Shem and Japheth do when their brother Ham comes to them and says, "Hey, look at Dad, he's like naked." Okay, that was the Mary version. Shem and Japheth, do you remember? They walk in backwards. They cover their father's nakedness. They don't even look at his naked body. They cover his shame. And they're not ignoring it, but they're not making light of it either. And so this is a corrective for us when we see someone, especially a Christian leader, who falls. We don't need to celebrate it or maybe even revel in it. Maybe we should be turned to prayer and ask the Lord to help that person to correct their ways. I'm sure there is so much more to see in that scripture. We could talk about the nakedness and how that was something that we saw in the garden as well that was related to shame. That would be something else we could tease out a bit, but we need to move on. So let's go to Psalm 104. We're going to read verses 24 through 35. This is a psalm that reminds us that God is in control of the whole world, and in his wisdom, he made everything. It mentions the Leviathan, and I don't know exactly what that is. Maybe a massive sea creature that we think of like a dragon or some kind of beluga whale, perhaps, or a huge crocodile. I don't really know. The point here in this psalm is that whatever is large and untamable to us is nothing for God to handle. Amen? What is it in your life today that seems too much? You can't figure it out. You can't imagine how the Lord is going to work in it. And yet you can have faith that nothing is impossible with God. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. It is Saturday, so I'm going to pray some launching verses over you. Launching verses are just verses that you can start your day with. If you memorize them, they can become a prayer pattern to start your day. I often begin with something I learned from the Anglican Church that says this: open our lips and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. I'm going to give you a minute to repeat that. And then I launch into Psalm 130, which is a favorite of mine, and I want to pray it over you now. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Our souls wait for you, Lord, in different situations where it is tough. Our souls wait for you, Lord, in situations where things seem large and untamable. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. We put our hope in you, Lord. For with you is unfailing love. And with you is full redemption. And then into Lamentations chapter 3, I think starting in verse 21. And this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Lord, great is your faithfulness. We just want to sit for a moment and think about your faithful love. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here are a few more verses to launch your day as you think about how you live in relationship with the God of the universe. Psalm 119, 18. O Lord, open my eyes so that I may see wonderful things in your law. And Psalm 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Help us, Lord, to get our minds right, to put you first, and to remember that it is for your glory that we live. And then finally, Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God and Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Now, Lord, this is the confidence that we have in approaching you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.